Good morning to our listeners with the Millionaire Mama. This is Karen Kalis, and I am so happy to be here today with Casey Moore, who is a productivity coach. Casey helps busy professionals regain control of their work and lives, and she's written a book called Stop Organizing, Start Producing. So she works with CEOs, executives, salespeople, and a bunch of other entrepreneurial types in order to help all of us become more effective. Welcome, Casey.
Well, thank you, Karen. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you here today. So I've just been inspired by your work, and I'm just so glad to have you here. So as you know, our millionaire mamas, they are women that are really interested in starting their own businesses or may have just started their own businesses. How about if we start off by talking about what the biggest challenge is that you see for people who are interested in leaving their jobs and starting their business, striking out on their own?
Well, there are a few. I guess the obvious one is taking the risk not to have a steady paycheck. And just facing that fear. I guess another challenge is that I've seen is how to avoid being completely consumed by the work so that there's no forget about balance. The well gets emptied out utterly, and I see that happen. And this is, there's an exciting energy. It doesn't take equal time to restore ourselves to have something to give back. But when the well gets empty, it gets difficult.
That's really an interesting discernment. So can you talk a little bit more about sort of, you know, the busy energy of starting a business and sort of the cycle of all that busy energy, how to keep that better under control, and then also how to restore ourselves so we are productive?
Well, sure. I know we're talking to people with a variety of approaches. So some people are going to be starting out on their own, kind of like I did. I'm a consultant, and so it was just me. There wasn't big overhead. Other people will be getting together business plans to get financing. But either way, there is a lot of, energy, as you mentioned, excitement. There's also that wonderful learning curve where you're having to do a lot of things that are unfamiliar and maybe difficult. For me, I call it writing with my left hand because I'm right-handed. And all day long, writing with my left hand took a different kind of energy. And that's really what it's about. I was out of my comfort zone a lot of times. A lot of these millionaire mamas are probably going to be like me in that you're really good at what you do. I was really good at being a professional organizer, being a productivity trainer, later a coach, but I was not as comfortable networking, marketing, doing the social media stuff. And so that felt uncomfortable, and it was extra draining. So there's this energy of excitement of doing the business, but there are going to be pieces that are especially draining too. And so for restoring that energy, again, it doesn't take equal time, but it does take some focus every day. Just some time every day, this is my me time. This is when I go into the bathroom, lock the doors. The old Calgon commercials, take me away, that kind of thing. It could be 15 minutes, but it's that 15 minutes where we set it aside for ourselves, let our brains know, like, I'm here for you, this is just for me for now. And it's amazing what even 15 minutes can do. For me, that I like to run and walk, and so getting outdoors, it was a twofer. It's good for my body. It's actually good for my mind, too. But it was definitely some time doing something that I enjoyed, that I felt competent at, that was not work-related, I would not let myself think about work. It was my free zone. It still is my free zone. And so figuring out that for you, I think, is going to be a key for people starting out.
Yeah, I can really see how that is important. I love the comment about how you are right-handed, but, you know, you feel like you're writing with your left hand all day when you're starting a business. And I understand that. I have felt that way at times during my career as well, so I really love that. So when people are considering leaving their jobs, do you, based on what you've seen, do you advise women to just go ahead and quit their jobs and begin starting their own business, or do you think a transition plan is maybe a better way to go?
Well, Karen, I'm a coach, and that means I don't advise anything. And truly, I listen to my clients. I listen to what they're saying. The truth is, whether you have a plan, I mean, I guess to some extent you have to have a plan. At any point, though, whether you're going to taper off, I started working part-time while I had my day job.
Okay.
And it was when I moved that I made the leap. But at some point, if you're going to go full-time, it's a leap. So there will be a leap either way. But I think having some kind of a plan just for financial reasons is necessary. The plan, just basic, how much money do you need to live? How much money do you want to make? I mean, be thinking of both ends, like the base and like how, what is your goal? What's your dream? Keep that positive vision there too. And then working back from there, that helps you know how much to charge in some cases, depending on the industry. And just figuring out like how you're going to make ends meet during the beginning. For me, when I first made the leap, it was because the wages where I moved were so low, I figured if I'm going to be poor, I might as well be poor doing what I love.
yeah, sure.
And that first year was rough, but it got, you know, more and more. They say 3 to 5 years is that's when businesses either succeed or crash. And I definitely saw that. You know, 3 years in, it was light years. 5 years in, it was solid. It's been 16 now. But there does need to be a plan. And if you need financing, then you're required to have a business plan. One plan that people don't think about, though. Oh, sorry.
Really valuable. Please continue. You were going to say something about one kind of plan that people don't think about.
Is their plan for hiring? If you're going to be, if you really are a true entrepreneur, especially someone who wants to be running a company that's more than you, then you have to have it in mind. One thing that I was told that I thought was great advice was to make an org chart of the dream organization. And in the beginning, for me, it was my name in just about every box. But, you know, and that might be so for someone starting out, but then you're constantly thinking about when can I get that person in. I'm working right now with an entrepreneur in Richmond, Virginia, who did not do that and has become almost a victim of her success because she has so many clients now that she doesn't have the time to hire someone, and that happens. So the sooner you can bring someone in to support you, like an office manager type in her case, the freer you are to be able to grow the business and keep doing the parts of the business that are within your wheelhouse.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a good point because so many entrepreneurs try to be experts at everything, right?
Yeah. Yes. And, yeah. and the hiring doesn't have to be employees. I only have one employee right now, but I have my computer guys. I have my web people. I have graphic designers. I have different, I have a marketing person, different people, they're contractors, you know, I'm their client, but a lot of them work together and it feels like there's a team. I have a team of support. And one thing people often don't think about either, especially moms, is that the support you get doesn't necessarily have to be business support. My first hire was to get an assistant, and she helps me with work things, but she also runs errands and does my grocery shopping.
Wow. Wouldn't we all love that, right? Somebody do their grocery shopping.
Well, see, it may sound silly, but that's something she loves to do. I can pay her, a good hourly rate for that, but it's a lot less than my hourly rate. Freeing me up lets me spend that time on my business. You may be thinking I'm not ready to hire an office manager or, I don't know, whatever it is for you, but are there things that are draining you in your personal life that someone could take care of so that you could spend that guilt-free time at work?
Yeah, yes. I really understand what you're saying. So it seems like if you hire an office manager or a virtual assistant or a live assistant, then you can be more productive at the things that are actually building your business as opposed to having all this time sort of sucked away from you, you know, because you're doing stuff that has to get done but that you don't necessarily need to be doing. Am I hearing you right on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a client who has three girls who go to three different schools, and just driving them around and coordinating the one or two carpools they have, it feels like a half-time job. I mean, it's ridiculous. And some of that time being in the car with the girls can be like great bonding time, but not always. Uh-huh. And so one of the things she did is find someone who could do some of the driving, take some of that load off. So just getting creative and when you think about getting support for your growing business, being creative in how you do that.
Mm-hmm. That is really amazing. Well, you know, it gets me to thinking, based on your experience working with entrepreneurs, are there particular skills that you think that if people who are interested in making that leap, like we talked about a little while ago, into becoming an entrepreneur, is there a set of skills that you feel like, or a skill in particular that you feel like an entrepreneur could really benefit from that really helps them take that next step and do it as smoothly as possible?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, the leading characteristic of an entrepreneur is that she is a risk taker.
Mm-hmm.
An entrepreneur needs to be a persuasive communicator because she's selling not only her product or service, but also the idea of the business, to grow the business, whether it's to a bank for financing or to employees to work with her,
mm-hmm.
potential employees. I think entrepreneurs need to have a deep well of self-confidence,
mm-hmm.
Just a faith that I can do this, and that they have to be resilient because there will be setbacks, disappointments, and if you are easily crushed and not able to see it, it's just like it's one step back, two giant leaps forward. If you can't get back up again, it might not be the career for you. And that's something that I think is really important for anyone who's thinking about starting a business, is getting clear, am I an entrepreneur or do I really want to have what Aldana Ambler calls an incorporated career? So an entrepreneur is someone who is interested in growing the business, having it move beyond them, maybe multiple locations, just sort of getting big. They're interested in the business of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
someone who has an incorporated career is more like, I like to do this thing, and I don't want to have to answer to a boss. I want to have to answer to my clients, and I want to
mm-hmm.
set my own hours.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing, both have advantages. I think it's just they're different personality types or different life goals. But if
mm-hmm.
you really want an incorporated career, you don't want to have employees. You want to be the one doing not just everything, but you. So, for example, I'm a consultant. I'm a coach. I love that. I love doing the coaching. And I'm not interested in hiring 10 coaches so that I will be overseeing 10 people who are doing the coaching.
Got it.
And so I have a successful career with that, but I've given up trying to force myself to, like, grow and grow and grow and grow because that's not what I want. So
right.
if you are that way, that's perfectly great, but know that about yourself so that you can set your goals and allocate your time and resources accordingly. But if you are a true entrepreneur and you want to get big, you want to be selling your business at the end of the day and retiring, you know, or doing an IPO or whatever, then know that too and get the people in as soon as possible to work with you and help you do that.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. I've never heard anybody describe it quite that way before. So an entrepreneur is somebody who wants to, you know, build something in their garage and then turn it into something enormous, where an incorporated career is someone who wants to, you know, sort of maintain a smaller identity as a business owner. I think that's really interesting that it's based on the personalities. And I liked what you said about how you have to have confidence and be resilient to be an entrepreneur. And I'm sure you have found this in your practice. It seems like those disappointments as an entrepreneur, they just come. I mean, that is part of the territory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have a bad day. So when they happen and you feel like you've been knocked back, can you talk a little bit about the sort of the steps of recovery at that point? Like, how does a woman, she's striking out on her own the first time, the first big disappointment knocks her back on her heels. What needs to happen at that point in order for her to get up and continue moving forward?
Karen, when you ask that question, what comes to my mind is that we need people in our lives, and I'm going to advocate for other women especially, who can help us put it in perspective. So
mm-hmm.
when I started my business, when I leaped in and went full-time, I joined a networking group. I had moved to a different part of the country. I was starting from scratch in that area. And getting the support so that when there are disappointments, being able to talk with other people, seeing successful people and having them talk about disappointments they've had, just to put it in perspective of
mm-hmm.
this happens to everybody, you get up, dust off, and move on. And building a supportive network of people, even in my industry, a good part of my supportive network are people that you might say are competitors, but we don't really see ourselves that way. We see, like, the pie is so huge that we can all get a slice.
Mm-hmm.
And staying connected with them, especially when you're first starting out and it is just you, it can be lonely, even for introverts. So
mm-hmm.
to me, the key to resilience is talking honestly about it, with supportive people.
That is amazing. You know, it kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier. It sounds like where, you know, you need support. So trying to launch out on your own business all by yourself is probably not the best model, you know, because we need support, whether that's in doing the grocery shopping or in working on a website or, like you said, having a network that you can rely on. I think that's really, really interesting and a great bit of advice for sure. So can you share like any experiences that you've had about developing your own business and maybe stumbling blocks or successes or tools that you've used to be productive and to kind of get where you're going? I know you talked a little bit about having a support team around you. How did you sort of figure out your niche and your industry and figure out what you wanted to do? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So I started off as a professional organizer, and I helped people with everything from sheds and garages to their offices. And after a couple years, I realized I was much, even though I loved doing all of it, I was much more interested and challenged and engaged with the office work, the productivity aspect. And that was a big decision, to go from a generalist to a specialist. It meant mm-hmm. I would be saying no to some people. But it was worth it because I had to think about the energy, what was building my energy at work versus draining me. And so that helped guide that decision. When I first moved to, I live in coastal Virginia now, when I first moved there, I was an unknown entity. And so I cold called companies to offer free talks.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, because they didn't know me, some of the companies turned me down. And it sounds funny now, but it's absolutely true that I would make some of these calls, and then I would curl up in the fetal position on the floor. I found it so nerve-wracking, and I don't know, the whole, like, facing rejection from unknown people. And then I ended up joining a really fantastic business networking group and attending extra trainings about how to run and market businesses. I sought out the information that I didn't have, and I mm-hmm. did my best to apply it. That's another entrepreneurial, I think, business owner requirement is openness to learning.
Mm-hmm.
So I got new skills. And then one other key for me, in my business, I started out as a professional organizer. I went into the productivity, really focused there. The more specific I was, the more helpful I was because I could really become an expert. And then I later got coaching training so that I could help my clients develop habits. They knew how to do everything. They loved it.
Yeah.
But they would often stop doing it when, you know, say they were out for vacation, they come back and the habit wasn't built. So now I work with mm-hmm. clients longer and help them develop the habits. And one of the processes along with that of getting clear about who my client was and my ideal client working with them, that was really helped by working with a mastermind group, the group of mm-hmm. business people that just support each other in growing their business and hold each other accountable. It was mm-hmm. in my mastermind group that, just by chance, I didn't put the group together, there were four guys there who had been clients of mine. And mm. they were the ones who told me I needed to charge more, like 50%
wow.
more than I'd been charging. Yeah, and one of them actually ended up hiring me again a few months later. So it was against his best interest to do this. But I never would have taken that leap if I hadn't had a supportive group of people telling me to charge not what I thought my time was worth, but what my service was worth to my client.
Mm-hmm.
And so that experience of taking the risk to raise rates, taking the risk to specialize, it means saying no to some clients.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a healthy risk, I think, that's worth taking.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And that is such an interesting experience. I think you said some of the amazing things in there. You know, joining a mastermind group, it seems like that is one of the keys to productivity that you've really stressed during our interview today. It's just, you know, having the support there. That is really interesting. And then can you talk a little bit more? I think that is the story about you and the four guys who said you're not charging enough, Casey. That is fascinating. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that specializing and saying no and charging enough for your services, that seems like a big sort of ball of trouble for new entrepreneurs. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I agree with you, especially for women. We tend to discount our own expertise. Oh, it's easy for me. I tell you, at the very beginning, sometimes I almost felt embarrassed that I was charging. Because A, it was so much fun, and B, it came so naturally to me. I felt like I felt almost guilty. And what I had to be open to, and it took a while, was to realize that it's not easy for everybody else, and mm-hmm. that I had a gift, and I also need to make a living. That was sort of the struggle in the beginning, and then the whole raising my rates was difficult. I tell you, the first time I told new clients, I could almost I didn't get down in a fetal position, but it was kind of that sort of thing. And then gradually, I became more comfortable with it.
So Casey, as we're wrapping up here, do you want to talk a little bit about your about how people can connect with you, and then also how you know, if you have any free product giveaway, anything that you would like to share with people about your work and how they can kind of circle back with you?
Sure. So my website is Casey Moore, Inc. So it's my name, CaseyMoore, and then INC for incorporated, .com, CaseyMooreInc.com. When you go there, there are tons of tips you can read. You can sign up for my e-tips, which are free. They come to you once mm-hmm. a month. I was tweeting before Twitter existed. I don't want to clutter anybody's inbox with a newsletter, just one idea. You can also take a little quiz to give you an idea of your productivity strengths and weaknesses. And there's a full assessment that you can pay to take. It's very reasonable. My book, mm-hmm. Stop Organizing, Start Producing, is there as well. You know, entrepreneurs are people who are time-pressed. And mm-hmm. if you want to improve your productivity, you probably want to be as time-efficient as you can. And so my assessment, my book, give you a model for looking at productivity to see all the different factors so you can go, oh, I need to focus on this area. Because when you fix your weakest area, everything shines better. Everything functions better. You improve much more quickly. Mm-hmm. So that's my approach. So at Casey Moore, Inc., you can find all of that. And I'm excited this is coming out in January. It's Get Organized Month. So that's one way to sort of kick off that challenge.
That is really super. Yeah, we all need to be more organized, and January is such a great time to do that. Well, yeah. Casey, I just want to thank you so much for being here today and for taking time for this interview and sharing your expertise. If you are listening and you want to connect with Casey, then you can access the links on your daily email to get to her website and to see more of her information. That is the same email that you used to connect to this interview. So, again, thank you so much for listening today. Thank you, Casey, for being here. And we will talk to you next time on the Millionaire Mama.
Thanks, Karen. Bye, everyone.